This is the Friday, August 2nd, 2024 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The anticipation of what might be in the August supply and demand report, wet weather and warm temperatures continue to push corn and beans lower. A note here, we are recording on Thursday due to our changes in production schedule. For the week, the nearby wheat contract gained 9 cents and the September corn contract lost 13 cents. The soybean market continues to move lower as the trade positions itself for the August supply and demand report that will include USDA's estimate of acres planted. The September September soybean contract cut 33 cents while September meal dropped $6.30 per ton. December cotton added a nickel per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures fell 14 cents. The livestock market was in the red. October cattle shed 482. September feeders fell 780. And the October lean hog contract lost $1.17. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index found 12 ticks. September crude oil lost 61 cents per barrel. COMEX gold improved 53.60 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index added almost 3 points to settle at 549.50. All right, joining us now is one of our regular market analysts, Angie Setzer. Although I should say that it's been a minute since you've been here, yeah. Right?
Regular is a relative term, but I'll take regular. I'm glad to be back.
Well, we love having you. I'm glad that I could be here with you today. So we haven't had a lot of market-friendly news, right?
No.
I guess that's sort of an understatement week. Last week at this time, we were talking about a forecast that looked pretty friendly. It was hot and dry. That all changed. We got a lot of rain, at least in the Midwest we did. So with the markets losing a lot of ground this week, was that weather or was it a supply issue?
Well, I think it was a whole host of issues. I mean, you have a continuation of the speculator wanting to sell commodities. I mean, you just look at it, a broad spectrum of commodities from lumber. You know, you saw cotton is down off from its relatively decent levels that we'd seen earlier this year. You've got copper. You know, everyone says copper is a great indicator of what's going to happen economically speaking. And you've seen copper just completely fall out of bed. So it's really one of those things where I feel like we have this sort of idea that, you know, everything is so bearish in grains and we're just going to continue to sell. It's almost turned into an echo chamber. Like, I've used that phrase more than once here over the last couple, 3 weeks, but everyone just keeps feeding off from each other when it comes to, oh, well, this is negative, that is negative. And the reality is we've pretty much, there's a point in time where you can throw so many negative things at the market and eventually you're going to see it kind of shrug them off. And I think we're getting there. I thought we were getting there for a while. I thought we'd have seen the speculators at least move to kind of add some length versus sitting short. But obviously, the weather's been relatively benign across the U.S. You know, so I think that was a factor. I think you've got Argentina talking about rolling back export taxes, which would have a huge influence on what global market prices could look like. You obviously had some of this unexpected rain with an 11 to 15 day forecast turning off a little cooler and wetter than what was anticipated. And so it's just kind of this whole gathering of fun things to really continue to pressure the market. But honestly, you know, yes, we traded to a new low in September corn, which is a little bit frustrating, but we really have slowed the momentum of the downwards pressure that we've seen. We've seen wheat really start to hold its lows, which is somewhat supportive, especially for corn, if we can kind of work to grind out this bottom. And so really, we're just trying to figure out how to turn the Titanic right now, really, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Okay, so speaking of wheat, U.S. wheat is as cheap as any other country right now, right? So does that mean more people are going to be buying from us, and will that help?
I think you will see that. I think that we've already seen a decent start to the export market structure for the year. We have seen a little bit of a slowdown, but that feels more like the consumer is not necessarily as engaged as what you would typically see. You know, traditionally, we would see the end user come in and work to get really aggressively covered for Q3, Q4. We didn't see that this year. We've just seen them go really hand-to-mouth, China being one of the bigger reasons. Now, we are seeing conversation that China, Sinograin, is going to look to expand their government wheat reserves. And China did. They had a really great high-quality wheat crop this year that they didn't have last year. Last year, they'd lost a third to 40% of their crop due to bad conditions at harvest. It rained. They had sprouts. They had other things that turned into feed wheat. You don't have that this year. So you don't really have that drive or that competitive sort of feel on the end user side. And that's keeping some of that demand slow. But from an overall standpoint, we are going to see a continuation of buying. The U.S. should benefit, especially as we remain cheap. If we see the dollars start to turn under pressure or anything like that, we have the highest quality, easily accessible supply in the world right now, and I think that'll benefit us long term.
Okay, so you mentioned December corn futures went below $4
yes.
this week.
Yeah.
So have we seen the lows? Or what's going to change that? What's going to be the thing to turn that around?
I'd like to say that we've seen the lows. I think we should be getting close, like I said. I mean, I feel like we're working to kind of grind out what that is. And that takes some time. But I do think when you start to pay attention to the other global factors, like I feel like we're ignoring the drought and the heat and the production problems that we have in Ukraine. You take a look at what's going on in Eastern Europe. You know, Romania is looking at cutting 5 million metric ton from their crop. You add in 5, 6, 7, 8 million metric ton loss from the Ukrainian crop. You start to talk about what we're looking at with Argentina's overall production. Brazil's second crop harvest happened at almost double their normal pace, and basis continues to rally. That's something in the cash market. If harvest happens faster than normal and basis continues to strengthen throughout harvest, that tells me as a cash trader there is something wrong with what we think is happening from a supply standpoint. So to me, I do feel like eventually low prices are going to help to bring in that global demand that we're looking at. The U.S. is the cheapest. The U.S. is the most accessible. The U.S. is the highest quality. And those things matter. And so to me, the biggest thing that we're waiting for right now is just to see the Chinese buyer get engaged, because I think it takes China to spook the rest of the world consumer that the price isn't going to continue to the basement forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our next question about corn comes from social media. So it's a long one. Mm-hmm. We have an extremely strong summer basis in eastern Nebraska, the kind you find in a small carryout year. Is the strong basis as strong in other parts of the country? If so, the basis is telling me the USDA is overestimating the carryout, looking for a Husker harvest days. Surprise on the carryout.
I think that's something to pay attention to. That's been one of the conversations that we've been having for a while. You've seen spread action firm up. Now, lately in corn, you've definitely seen spreads relax. You've seen basis start to back off from some of the highs, and I feel like people have found that they're covered. I do think, though, there is a real potential that we could be overestimating the numbers based on the June figures. If you talk to Lance from NASS, he'll tell you that the response rate this year was about 40%. And so if you look at a farmer response rate to drive a survey number, like you're looking at a number that the trade is using with a 40% response rate, for a lot of other polls or any sort of statistical analysis, you'd almost look to throw that out. Now, I'm not going to say that we'll do that, but to me, if you start to question what the numbers are or whether or not they're truly accurate, you want to look at the cash market for signs. And so we have seen some pretty stout inversions in the market structure, which would indicate that supply is not quite feeding the market like you would want it to. We've seen some strong basis. Now, is that a function of a strong farmer holding on to bushels? Is that a function of the grain not moving? That's been a question, but I feel like it's a little bit of both. I don't think the farmer has strong enough hands to fundamentally change the way that the cash market structure works, but I do think that there is enough grain that's starting to move now that you're starting to see basis calm. You've seen the SEPTI spread widen out to 15, 16 cents, which is historically wider than what you would have seen over the last 5 years or so. So the thought that the carryout is probably close to what the USDA is projecting right now is accurate, but could we find 150 or 200 million bushels less of corn potentially as we get into that September number, or maybe find that we have 50 million or so less of beans on hand? For sure. Does that markedly change the overall outlook? Not necessarily with decent production, but it could if that compounds with a surprise in demand.
Okay, let's talk soybeans. We had an almost 2-year low, right?
Yes.
I think October 22 was the last time we saw this low, beans this low. So what's going to rescue that market?
China, honestly. Yeah. I mean, the thing is China or La Nina, a weather issue in South America. And so we've got La Nina coming in. We've had tremendous dryness in Argentina and in central Brazil. It's part of the reason that their harvests went so well. Part of the reason that I think their crop's probably smaller than what we're anticipating on second crop. So they're coming into the year, normally they do anyway, relatively dry. We're 6 weeks away from Brazil being able to turn wheels and start planting their soybeans. And so it's getting to the point now where here in the next couple, 3 weeks, we're going to be able to start to look at those long-term forecasts. Currently, they are concerning that they're going to stay really dry. And so if they go into the planting season dry and stay dry, where we have a late La Nina or a late rain start to develop, that could be really... that could have long-term implications on our export program, because right now Brazil has been actively shorting February and March beans far below U.S. values. So they need to have their crop get off, get started, all of these things. There's plenty of fodder to be had potentially in the soybean market when you look at renewable diesel, you look at increased crush around the world, increased blend rates. You know, there's a lot of things that are positive. Yeah. And so it's hard right now simply because we don't have that export book on that we'd like to see from China. If that were to change, we have seen them come in. They were pretty heavy buyers last night. It would matter.
Okay, let's get to cattle because I think we have about a minute left here. So,
thank goodness.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay.
We have the cattle.
Well, so cattle producers have fared a little better than grain producers this week. So, where do you see that live market and the feeder market headed in a minute?
I think you have to be careful in that side. Like, I think that's one of those situations where we're talking like a year ago in corn, where, you know, maybe you think that there is some potential upside because of the smaller cattle herds and some of these conversations that we've had about being short cattle for an extended period of time. I think we just have to be careful if we are heading into a recession or are running into any sort of situation where you could see the consumer slow down or see to where we could bring in outside supplies possibly to offset some of our domestic demand. Just make sure that you are looking at different ways to manage your risk and don't put yourself in a situation where, like a corn farmer is today, where I wish I would have looked to lock in that profit when I had the chance, or at least put in that floor to make sure that I'm not trying to figure out how to fix a problem when it becomes somewhat unfixable.
Okay. Angie, we covered some ground. Thank you so much. We'll talk more in Market Plus because I think you have a lot to say. All right. We are going to pause this analysis and continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment, as you heard. And you can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. The first place this program appears is on our YouTube channel. You can stay in the loop by subscribing to our feed, clicking on the bell to get notifications about new content, and hey, let the technology work for you. Find us at Market to Market on YouTube. And next week, we take a look at a series of new laws aimed at limiting foreign land ownership in the U.S. Thank you so much for watching, and have a great week.